Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we look at this section of Matthew's Gospel, that you will teach us, that you will challenge us, correct us, and encourage us. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, there are some invitations in life that you would be crazy to turn down. When I was offered the opportunity to sit in a private box and to watch my football team go around, I didn't say no. When I was offered tickets to the A Reserve at the Australian Opera, even though I wasn't a huge fan, I didn't say no, and had a great time playing Spot the Celebrity all night. John Chapman, the well-known evangelist, tells of his invite to go and watch Wimbledon in the members' enclosure when he was over in England. Yes, there are some invitations in life that you would be mad to turn down, and some of you might like to just tell us all now, some special invitation that you might have received or place that you've gone to. Any special invites you've had? Morning tea at Kirribilli House, that's pretty special. Others? Jen? Big rig racing at Oran Park. And
I was invited to be in the rig.
In the rig? Wow. Okay, that's pretty special. Dennis?
I was given a free ticket to the 5-week expedition in the bush when I was about 26. It was handed to me and said, "Here we are, you can go." So I did something.
Okay. Someone wasn't trying to get rid of you for a period of time, were they? Not at all. Someone over at early service said they received an invite to go to Buckingham Palace, and they didn't want to go, but the people they were staying with actually paid their airfare from somewhere in Europe to get there. So there you go. So you can talk to Helen Oakenfull all about her experience there. Yes, there are some invitations in life that you would be mad to turn down. In the text before us today, we have Jesus telling a parable, a story in which there was an invitation that you would be mad to turn down. We read from verse 1 of Matthew 22, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come." Well, the story concerns a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. Invitations would have gone out previously, but the time for the wedding feast had arrived, and so the servants were to call those who had been invited. To be invited to a wedding feast for a king's son is no small deal. This is not just a few snags on the barbie kind of affair. Verse 4, "See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." Now, the wedding feast in the scriptures is representative of the kingdom of heaven. So the invitation on view is the invitation to join God's kingdom. It is the invitation to be seated not just in some king's banqueting hall, but in the great throne room of God. It is an invitation to be able to go to heaven. The great banquet occurs, we are told in scripture. It occurs when Jesus returns and brings history to an end. At that time, all those who belong to him will receive the benefits of his kingdom, which is symbolised by a great wedding feast. So we read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." So in the parable, everything is ready, and the invitation goes out to the guests to attend the great wedding banquet. But next in our story, we read of a refusal. Verse 3 simply says that they would not come. Verse 5, after another invitation had went out, we read, "But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them." Although the invitation was to a position of great privilege, the response was one of disrespect, contempt, and high treason. Those who refused had no regard for the king or his kingdom. Now, some have complained that the story is being taken to degrees of the absurd. Would anyone kill the messenger regarding a wedding invitation? But that makes its teaching even more telling, because it has the Jewish nation on view, who as a whole rejected God's prophets and killed God's son. The parable is also consistent with the one before it, where those hired to work a vineyard killed the son who was sent to gather the harvest. The point being made is that they don't realise a good offer when it's staring them in the face. To turn down such an offer, the offer of going to the king's banquet, is an incredibly bad call. By what this is trying to teach us, to turn down the offer of being able to be a part of God's great banquet is an even stupider call. Dick Rowe is someone who made a very, very bad call. He was an executive with Decca Records in London in 1962. He was responsible for choosing new talent for recording contracts. He is hardly a household name. But if he is famous for anything, it is this. When he auditioned the new Liverpool band called the Beatles, on New Year's Day, 1962, he wasn't impressed. On his advice, Decca Records refused to sign them. And on the company memo, he said this: "We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out anyhow." Bad call. Extremely bad call. I wonder how often he regretted that decision during his life. Friends, there will be those who will have the whole of eternity to regret their decision to refuse to accept the offer to be part of the kingdom of heaven. As we read in the parable, the king did not take lightly to his invitation being turned down, and so we see his retribution in verse 7. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. There are those who don't think there is such a thing as retribution. But for those who refuse the offer of the king, the teaching of the scriptures is clear. There will be punishment. There will be separation from the presence of the Lord. That is the result for all those who refuse. Well, the story goes on with another invitation going out. Have a look from verse 8. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. With the rejection of the first group of invitees, the king doesn't just shut up shop and say, "Oh, well, that's the end of it." But he goes out of his way to find others who will accept his invitation. There is a true story of a very rich man in the United States whose daughter was to be married. He spared no expense. He booked out the ballroom in one of the swishest five-star hotels in the city. He employed one of the city's most famous chefs and handpicked a wonderful menu with magnificent wines to match. He was happy to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on the occasion. A few days before the wedding, though, one of the parties called it off. What would he do? Well, he decided to go ahead and to invite as many of the city's down and outs to a big wedding bash, minus the wedding. So he went out into the streets and found the homeless and the poor and passed the word around. They were invited to the ballroom of this swish hotel to have a wonderful banquet. They came in their droves. It was a marvellous occasion. And friends, that is what God does. The invitation to join his wedding banquet goes far and wide. You are invited. I am invited. The rich are invited. The poor are invited. The educated are invited. The uneducated are invited. They are invited in the northern hemisphere. They are invited in the southern hemisphere. There is no place on the map where they are not invited. Not one hasn't received their own personal invitation. Being invited isn't the issue. What people do with the invitation is the real issue. Have you accepted the invitation? Or are you going to be a dick row and make the worst call of your life? Well, back to our story, back to the parable. This time, many accept the invitation. How do we know that? Well, the wedding hall was filled with guests, verse 10 tells us. Now, we might be tempted to think that heaven will be an empty place. You look around church and you think, well, compared to all those that live in Asquith and Mount Kyla and Mount Coringa, not many here. I'm sure there's 10 times as many at the beach, 10 times as many in the shops, 10 times sleeping in. People can mock you for your belief. You may often have felt that you're the only one in the world who believes in Jesus. You go to that office Christmas party and you think that you're oh so different. You think, there are not many people like me. But don't be deceived. One by one, little by little, people are added to Jesus' kingdom. And the end result? Revelation 7 from verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Yes, there will be many that will partake of that great banquet. So the invitation went out again, and this time many respond. But then we read in the parable of presumption. Verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is not obvious what the wedding garment is meant to be. But what I think we can conclude is that he presumed upon the king. He had no regard for the requirements of those who were invited. In the description of the wedding banquet in Revelation, we are told what the wedding garment is, where we read in chapter 19 from verse 6, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Those who find themselves at the marriage banquet of Jesus are those who are clothed with righteousness. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, so you say. Yes, of course that is true. But those who respond in faith will also respond in obedience. The book of Hebrews tells us that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You cannot say you belong to Jesus and that you have accepted his invitation of salvation and then go on living how you like. The scribes and Pharisees thought that they were right with God but refused to obey. The previous parable teaches that we must be bringing forth good deeds. It is not the good deeds that save us. No, of course not. But they go along with the faith that does. Faith without works is dead, says James. Not only must we ask ourselves, are we trusting in Jesus? But we must ask, are we obeying Jesus? Trust and obey. For there is no other way. Well, as the parable continues, not only those who refuse God's invitation will be judged, but also those who dare to presume upon him. Verse 13, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The outer darkness is a description of eternal punishment. It is no trivial matter to presume upon God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And brothers and sisters, yes, this is hard teaching. But it is the teaching of the Scriptures. As you read through the Gospels, it is remarkable of how many times Jesus himself speaks of hell. Well, in verse 14, we come to Matthew's unexpected conclusion. For many are called, but few are chosen. We would expect him to say, many are called, but few accept the invitation. But no, few are chosen. Many are invited, but there are relatively few who have been chosen by God. Now, this, of course, raises the whole issue of election. God, in his sovereignty, chooses some, but not others. Now, if you want to think about this further, there was a great sermon preached by our bishop on this, and it's to be found on our website. But a couple of things to notice here. First thing is that it doesn't do away, God's choosing doesn't do away with human responsibility. Notice that the passage teaches that people are responsible if they reject God's offer of salvation. No one can remain outside God's kingdom but by their own deliberate choice. One cannot save themselves, but they can damn themselves. But for all those who accept, it is because God has chosen them. Yes, we respond by faith, but even that faith is a gift from God. So the Bible teaches both divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Well, what does the doctrine of God's election teach us? It is a doctrine of great comfort. It should result in profound gratefulness that God chose us out of his sheer mercy. It should result in praise to his glory. It should also humble us, for there is no grounds whatsoever for boasting. Well, let me conclude by asking four questions. Firstly, have you accepted God's great invitation to be part of his kingdom? Or are you going to be like Dick Rowe and make the worst call of your life? Secondly, are you clothing yourself in righteousness? Are you pursuing that holiness without which no one will see the Lord? Thirdly, are you profoundly grateful for God's election? And live a life of obedience in response to his great choice of you. And lastly, when people refuse the offer of salvation, do you give up or do you offer it to others like the king in the story? The wedding guests were found in the most unusual of places. And perhaps some of us are not looking in the right places as we endeavour to take God's word out. So by God's grace, may we be citizens of his kingdom, living a life of obedience and profound gratitude for the salvation that is ours, and longing and living and working to see others know that salvation as well. Amen.